John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. We're at the Pinnacle, Nashville, Tennessee. I am with Emily Roberts of The Last Dinner Party. Emily, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you for coming down.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure. I've really enjoyed your band. And I saw you playing this guitar on Jules Holland, and that had to be super fun, huh?
It was really fun. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, what an incredible show. Or do they have it? It was one of those, I know sometimes they'll have as many as like four acts set up at once. Is it that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's like all set up kind of in the round,
right,
at Alexandra Palace in London.
Oh, how great.
All the bands are like facing each other, and like the first time we did it, we were like opposite, take that.
Oh, yeah.
We were like, what's going on? It's so surreal.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that had to be beautiful and nerve-wracking at the same time.
Yeah, it's like the most nervous I've ever been, genuinely.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And I saw you playing that guitar on, I can't remember what show it was, but you were doing a cover of Blondie's...
Triple J.
Yeah. That was great.
Thank you. Yeah, that was really fun. Mm. It was fun like learning that solo as well.
Oh, yeah, it's an iconic part.
Yeah.
Blondie's just great. And doing it all on your Music Man St. Vincent, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So tell me about this guitar. Is this your number one?
Yeah, this has been like my number one guitar for like 4 or 5 years now. Before that, I had the Music Man Mariposa.
Oh, that's a great guitar as well.
But I had my eye on this one. It was just really expensive, so I had to like save up
for
it. So eventually I got it. And I've never really let it go. It's just like a really light guitar. Like it feels really nice. I've got like custom pickups on it.
The gold foils. That's cool. So yeah. Did you swap those out or did you order it with those?
I swapped them out, but it wasn't initially intentional because the bridge pickup broke just before we were doing the first album.
Oh, perfect.
I had it swapped out for a Firebird pickup initially. Mm. And I really loved it because it was so like bright and aggressive, and like I ended up using that for all the solos on the first album. And then I had these made, and that bridge is like based off the kind of Firebird profile.
Oh, okay.
So it's
masquerading as a gold foil, but it's really that kind of that hot when you're using it for.
I love the whammy too. It's very expressive, and I use it a lot.
Good for you. Yeah, it's so much fun. So are you on this one most of the time, or?
I'd say probably like 80% of the set I'll be on this one. And then there's three songs where I play the Flying V. For like the more like heavy rock stuff.
Okay. I know that when St. Vincent was designing that, she wanted something really light and expressive, and it sounds like she...
It's super light.
Yeah.
It's like, I never really get any shoulder pains or anything, which
is
like...
Great.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's really good.
And I love there's like a sacred geometry thing she was doing on the inlay. I can't remember what it was.
Is that like Aries or something? Is it like an astrology thing?
Well, I reviewed it when it first came out, and I remember there was something kind of heavy about it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So Saint Vincent, if you could, in the comments, say what, tell us what all that means.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, let's look at this sexy Flying V. Man, it's like a total Richie Faulkner kind of vibe. Tell me about this V.
Well, I got it's kind of like on an indefinite loan to me from my dad's cousin
who has
quite a few guitars, and he showed me them and then let me like pick one to borrow. I just like immediately kind of was drawn to this one because it looks ridiculous, but
it's fantastic.
But on stage, like I think it's really cool.
It's great.
Yeah. And yeah, I kind of use it for like the more sort of heavy rock songs, like My Lady of Mercy, Rifle and Big Dog. Okay, those are the ones I use it for.
Let's hear a little bit of that tone. Like, yeah. Give me your angry V tone. Yeah, that's great. Never give that guitar back. Never.
Yeah.
It's his mistake.
I guess it's mine now.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yeah, that is yours. That's great. Well, I love it. So do you usually live kind of on the bridge pickup on that one, or just depend on what you're feeling?
This one's the neck's quite nice as well. I use that at the beginning of Rifle. Let me just see if I can find that. There it is. So yeah, it's... Yeah, so the neck's quite nice as well.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a Richie Faulkner signature? I don't know. I mean, it looks like it.
I actually don't know. Maybe you're right. Actually never looked into it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Richie's just an amazing player and lives right here in town, and who doesn't love that guy? Okay, that's beautiful. Okay, so what's next in line? Okay, yeah. So now we're in Stratland. Tell me a little bit about this one.
This one, I think, is the American Pro 2 Strat.
Okay.
So it's got like this one where you can pull this in and out.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of useful, because if you want like a warmer bridge sound, you can do that with like just doing that, which is great. It's really useful.
Yeah.
I use it for This Is the Killer speaking. I think it sounds nice on that.
Yeah, that's cool.
I couldn't imagine using a different guitar on that song at this point. I think it kind of suits it.
Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah, yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love that. So what strings and picks are you using?
I use Tens, Elixir, and the picks, I use a 1mm Jim Dunlop.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, seems to do the job.
Sure, yeah.
It's kind of like thick enough to do like the heavier like lead lines, but also like thin enough to do some like funky strumming. So it's kind of like a compromise pick.
Perfect. Yes. Love it. Okay. Yeah. So have you made any alterations to this, or is it just straight stock?
Just as is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't really feel like I needed to do anything.
Oh, just the Strat's perfect like it is.
Sorry, there's not loads to say.
No, but hearing it kind of said everything. That is definitely
okay,
that.
Cool.
That is definitely that tone. Well, nice. Let's see. Now I know you just got this new very old Duosonic. Mm-hmm. Let's see that thing.
Yeah, I got it this morning and I've played it once, so
really?
It's very fresh.
Yeah, when we arrived, she was just getting to know it.
Yeah, so. I don't even know what songs I'm going to play it on.
Okay. Find out tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, so tell me about this thing.
This I bought 10 days ago. It's a 1958 Duosonic.
Oh, how cool.
So very, very old. A little bit sort of bashed in places, but I think that's okay.
Sure, yeah.
I'll be less worried about bashing it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Maybe it'll play a little bit on
this. Yeah, let's see what this thing does.
Also, this is super, super light again, so it's really comfortable, and like that's quite an important thing to me.
Oh, right.
And like the frets are, it's like a short scale, so it kind of feels better for me because I have very, very small hands.
I was noticing that. Yeah, you that's going to be a comfortable fit.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's quite a lot quieter, actually.
Yeah.
Thank you. Sounds great. I might use it on that song.
Oh yeah, that was great. Yeah, and it was that guitar was made for tremolo. Yeah, it sounds fabulous.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I'm glad. I was kind of scared, like I was saying earlier, I bought it online. So right. You kind of don't really know what it's going to sound. I knew that I liked the look of it, but I wasn't sure. But yeah, I think it's good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll know by the end of the gig tonight.
Yeah.
But so far, I think it was a great purchase.
So far, so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Okay, so what else do you have? What else do you want to look at? Oh, a mandolin. Why not?
Yeah, sure.
So was guitar your first instrument or mandolin or? And you play flute as well, right?
Yeah. I started on acoustic guitar and then I did flute shortly after that. And then I picked up an electric guitar when I was about 14. Mandolin's quite a recent one.
Yeah.
I kind of just learned it because people kept asking if I could do it. And
sure.
I kind of said yeah, I'll do it. And then I had to learn.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah. This only comes out once in the set for Aurora's song called Dewar. A mandolin.
Yeah, just a straight Fender mandolin. That's great with the pickup that came with it.
Does the job.
Yeah, it's great to have that texture in a band like this, I imagine.
Yeah, it's quite nice to get a bit of variety
in
the sound and not just go for acoustic as well. It's just sort of it's quite 70s. I feel like Heart would do that and Led Zeppelin would do that.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Yeah, we're quite a 70s coded band.
Sure.
So yeah, it made sense.
And I love that. I love that you all are leaning into this whole kind of theatrical thing. I love that.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You can kind of put on a bit of a character in the show and dress up. And I think dressing up really helps you kind of get into the mindset of performing as well.
Right. To get in character. Yeah. That's all part of it. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Fabulous.
Cool.
Well, let's see. What else do you have that you want to look at? Do you want to, could we look at just one of your acoustics as well?
Yeah.
All right, tell me about this Taylor.
This is my Taylor GS Mini. I got it in Manchester about 10 years ago now.
Oh, great.
makes me feel old. feel like I only just got it. It's a really beautiful guitar. I prefer the sort of smaller bodied acoustics just because it sort of...
Oh, sure.
With a bigger acoustic, I'm kind of doing that, and it's just a bit more comfortable. It just has a really nice tone to it. I don't know if we're recording it out front or not, but...
And you're using a combination of the Taylor pickup and a microphone as well?
Yeah, just the combination of the two. Because I think if we just use this, there'd be quite a bit of feedback issues. But if we just use that, the sound isn't as nice. So, yeah it's kind of a halfway house. But, I think this was a good investment, this little microphone, because it just picks up, it makes it kind of sound a lot more expressive and fuller bodied, I think.
Sure.
And
it's got to be fun in the show to get back to your acoustic roots a little bit.
Yeah. I play it in Woman is a Tree, kind of do that finger style thing.
Yeah.
And then, what else do I play it in? I play a bit in Portrait of a Dead Girl. What's the other one? Hold Your Anger. And then that's also a finger style thing. But yeah, I don't play it for the whole song, so it's just kind of a very quick guitar change, and then I go back to electric again. I think it's worth it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, that's good. Yeah. Okay, let's get your music man back on, and we'll talk about your amps and pedals. Okay, so tell me about the amps you're running back there.
So I'm using the Victory Combo and the Victory Cab that are on the right.
Okay.
I use those together and then plus the Vox on the left. So it's just a stereo amp setup, but with two mono amps.
Sure.
I was kind of experimenting in a rehearsal room with different amps, and I wasn't really connecting with like one individual amp on its own. And then I kind of had the idea to like put both together and see like if that helped.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, that sounds great. I love that. They kind of like complement each other nicely.
Sure.
Yeah, and I kind of stuck with that for a while.
Yeah, that's great. I like that you all are touring with proper amps, no direct stuff. Very common these days, but you're both running tube-driven amps. That's fun.
Yeah, I think because we have the luxury that we can do that. So, and I think a lot of people don't, because like if you're a session, maybe the expectation is that you have to have like one of those quad cortexes and stuff, because like people don't want to be like lugging amps around. And like, I totally get that. So we're in like quite a lucky position that we can bring amps, and why wouldn't I?
That's,
and it feels great on stage too. Like it just kind of gives you like that energy boost.
Sure.
And you can really feel like the guitar solo like in your body, and it's nice.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Okay, and which brings us to this pedal board. What's all going on here? Can you take me kind of through the whole boot to bonnet? You're running everything through the Mastermind. What all pedals do you have here?
So I've got, if it goes through the compressor a lot of the time. That's like the first one in the chain.
Okay. Warm audio?
Yeah, okay. Warm audio pedal 76. I kind of use it also as like a bit of a boost as well. Kind of going between sections, if something needs a bit of a lift, then I'll use it for that. I used it initially in the studio when we're doing the second record. I thought it sounded really nice on everything. So yeah, that's that one. And then after that, I've got the Centura.
Oh, nice.
It's probably like one of my favorites, I would say. Based on the Klon Centaur, but just a lot more affordable.
Sure. And comes in a cool pink.
I do love the pink.
What's not to love? That's great.
That's just kind of like a slightly more subtle overdrive, and I use that as like the not subtle overdrive.
The OCD. Yeah, when you really want to bludgeon them.
What have I got after that? I use the EQ quite a lot. Kind of in the transition between the Boss and the Source Audio one.
Okay.
Because the Source Audio does MIDI, so we're kind of like this. I've assigned like the PBC to run MIDI through to the Big Sky, the RE202, and the EQ, so that I can like adjust like the parameters between every patch on every song if I wanted to. And that's like really, really useful, so I don't have to constantly like change things in between songs. So I use the EQ as like either like a bit of a brightness, like a treble boost kind of vibe, mostly, or it's just really helpful for like tweaking things like in a kind of subtle way.
Sure.
And this chorus is great as well.
Oh yeah, what is that, the
I think warm? That's warm audio as
okay,
well.
Warm, okay, it looks like the
chorus.
Old...
I could play a little bit.
Yeah, sure. That's, let's hear that.
I really like that chorus pedal. It's nice. Yeah.
And everything, and you've got basically every song programmed.
Yeah, so I've got like every song on the Mastermind has roughly like between 3 and 5 patches. So like verse, chorus, pre, solo boost, outro, that kind of thing. So each of these patches has like a different combination of pedals and is sending like MIDI information to those 3 pedals, which is like has got like presets stored on the
That would be so complex you couldn't really do without MIDI. That makes sense.
I was just finding that having to adjust things in between songs manually got in the way of kind of the flow of playing sometimes. It's like it is quite complicated. But like it does save a lot of kind of effort when you're actually like playing the set.
Oh yeah, in the heat of battle you don't want to think about all that stuff. And it looks like you've got that Supro tremolo too.
That's a nice one. Let me see if I can find that. Wasn't working yesterday, so hopefully it is today. Yeah. I really like that pedal. It's great.
Huge sounding.
Yeah.
And what's your main reverb? Is that from the Big Sky?
Yeah. And I do also use the reverb actually on here as well sometimes.
Oh yeah, in the Space Echo, yes.
So sometimes I don't even need to use the Big Sky. It kind of depends what I'm doing, but yeah, the Big Sky is like the main one, I would say.
Yeah.
It just kind of does everything. Like,
sure.
It kind of does like the old, more vintagey, like spring and plate. And then also like if we wanted to do like a sort of shimmering octave effect,
yes.
it can do that too. So I think it's like very versatile and like an all round, yeah. Good reverb pedal.
Yeah.
I know everyone's got it, but
yeah. Oh, the kids are great. Yeah.
Lizzie has one too, I think.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. I've seen you use this Ebo. Can you tell us a little bit? Maybe demonstrate it some.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll just demonstrate.
Yeah. Right. Oh, that's cool. You know, I've never seen anybody do like arpeggios like that. That's very clever.
Yeah,
cool.
I saw someone do it on YouTube and I was like, I have to find a way to like shoehorn that into the set because I think it's really cool.
It was very cool. Okay, love the Ebo.
Yeah, it's very expressive. I love that it sounds like a cello, but like
totally
a sort of weird cello. I think it's like a great like studio tool when you don't want to just play like a guitar part.
Yeah.
It kind of opens up a lot more options and for creativity, and yeah, I love the sustain and it makes you play like very differently too.
Oh,
so
I bet. Yeah.
But yeah, I like it.
Okay, there we go, the Ebo.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go talk to your partner in crime. You're the other half of the guitar duo. So
thanks
very much and congrats. You all are killing it.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for coming down.
Of course. Okay, now we're with the other half of the Guitar Army. We got Lizzie Malin. Hey, Lizzie,
hello.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Okay, so tell me about this very cool Gretsch.
This is my hollow body Gretsch guitar. I think it looks good. I think it sounds good.
Yeah.
And I play it on the Scythe because we had an acoustic 12 string in the studio, but I haven't got one of my own because that was borrowed. So we kind of tried to make a sort of hybrid situation with some delay and reverb that kind of it's like on the beat of the track, so it kind of creates a 12 string effect without having to like tour with the 12 string.
Okay, you've got to demonstrate that. Okay, I want to hear this sonic madness.
So it kind of does this. That's just the delay kind of doing the second beat.
Yeah, it's a great tone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. So is that primarily what you use this for or?
Yeah, I mostly just use it on the Scythe. I think it's nice. It's like warm enough because it's got the hollow body like acoustic effect, but also like cuts through in a live setting. So.
Yeah, that's such a great tone and such a cool guitar. And I just love the whole aesthetic of your band, like that you all, the visual, the whole set, the whole deal.
It's all part of the fun.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's fun. Yeah, yeah. Like I like seeing a show. You know?
Yes, we like to put on a show and have the stage that we can like run around and explore and
when I see a band and they basically look like just anybody in the street, I'm always disappointed. I like it to look, you know, I like my rock stars cool, so well
we
done
our best.
Mission accomplished. Okay, with that, let's look at some of your other guitars. How about this cool Greco right here? Tell me about this thing.
Thank you. Swapsies.
It is a little heavier than I anticipated.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. So my guitar tech, Max, actually got one of these from Japan. Did you get it?
Yeah.
And let me play it very kindly on one of our tours, and I was like, I want one. So then you found me this one, and it's kind of started to replace all of my other guitars in the set. Oh. I used to play a Nashville Telecaster, and it's just kind of, it's knocked it off.
Yeah.
every song it was on. So I love this guitar. I think it's got a lot of personality.
Yeah, very cool. Okay, so would this be, are you spending, how much time are you playing this one on the set?
Most.
Oh really?
I think,
so it's kind of your number one?
Yeah, I think so, pretty much. Yeah. Apart from the more rocky ones, then we go for the jazz because that's a bit warmer, but this is really good for a slightly like vintagey, drivey feel.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit of it.
Oh, I don't know what song should I do? What song should I do? Can't think of any of the songs we play. I guess Anya's Day is just the opening track.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's nice.
It's a
classic.
Great old school vibe.
Yeah, and it also works really well with this Infinite Jets pedal I've got.
Oh,
which
let's
is like
that.
A bit crazy, which is in the more like soundscapey stuff we do in Woman is a Tree, but I think works really nicely. It's kind of.
See, when you put stuff like that on a record, nobody can figure out how to play it, right? It's just like torture for other guitar players because they'll never know.
I don't know if we've ever used this in the studio.
Huh.
Maybe once or twice. Second best, yeah. It's on second best, but it's quite unpredictable.
What is that?
It's a hologram Infinite Jets pedal, but it's like it was actually my partner's, and he gave it to me.
Huh.
But he used it for like ambient music.
And it's called Infinite Jets.
Yeah,
like the
Infinite Jets.
Like the book. Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Jets.
But it's got kind of like glitch effects.
I was thinking
Jets. No,
yeah.
Infinite Jester.
Yeah.
But it's quite hard to control, so it's been fun to sort of dial it in for life.
You know, that unpredictable, hard to control part is like half the fun.
It makes it really fun.
Because it'll go somewhere like you might not have
exactly
taken it.
Yeah, sometimes it like reacts to the amps in the room in a way that I don't expect, and I'm just sort of like, okay,
yeah,
we're going there, all right.
This is where we're going tonight. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's great.
It's good fun.
And for the more rockier bits, you've got what, a Jag?
Yes, okay. a jazz.
Okay,
yeah.
let's see that thing.
Yeah, so this one has got slightly heavier gauge strings.
Yeah, okay, so speaking of that, what are you, on the other guitars, what are you running, and what are you running on this one?
I don't, what strings are they? Yeah.
Most, the Gretsch and the Tele and the Greco are all on 10 to 46 Elixirs.
What brand?
Elixir. And then this guitar is on, I think it's like heavy bottom, light top Elixirs. I can't remember their... Maybe 10 to 52s.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other Jazzmaster is on 11 to 49s.
Okay.
So they're more even on the other one.
Yeah. And this one I play Big Dog and Rifle, we play in drop D. And then second best is like drop C sharp and then standard, which is really weird.
That is, yeah.
That was an Emily tuning.
Yeah. It is your fault.
Eating your snack, looking mischievous.
Yeah,
it's,
right.
It's good for the... Oh, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, you know? I love it. Yeah. Yeah, like the walls are shaking. That's great.
And it also, that reacts really in a very fun way with this crazy Infinite Jets part.
Yeah, love that weirdness. That's great. Okay, well, speaking about pedals and such, can we first... Let's talk a little bit about your amps, and I think Max has got some more information on that.
Yeah, I just press the button here, and it goes more dirty, and I enjoy that.
Okay, Max, what's going on back in amp land?
So we have two Hot Rod DeVille 4s, I believe, that are running. They're they're basically parallel. So we have a clean one and a dirty one. So Lizzie,
which is Big Thief inspired, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I sort of thought that it would be like a nice idea to have that extra like boost, like straight from the source.
Yeah.
To like as a pedal platform already.
Sure.
Because I think that's something that you were like quite keen on.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then we use the Universal Audio Aux boxes, the top boxes, behind the amps, between the power amp and the speaker to just drive a bit more signal. So we can drive the amps a little bit, but we don't have to like
tame
have them
the
blasting
volume
on stage, so we can
sure
tame the volume, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which works really nice.
It still keeps the tone like
yeah
gnarly.
Yeah, so we can like crank the dirty amp, which is really nice, and get it all gritty and breaking up, but we don't have to like slam it out the speakers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And deafen
yeah
Georgia or you.
Yeah, right. And are you running, and you're micing the amps, but are you running the direct out of the aux as well?
No, we aren't, no.
Yeah, that the mic's
be
plenty.
That would be really cool, but I think yeah that's like
yeah, like
maybe
all
too,
you need
too many
too
guitar
signals. More inputs. It's, yeah, you don't have enough stuff
sorry
up James here.
Yeah. Do more coming your way.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so two amps, one clean, one a little dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
knock and it's
kind
of back a bit of a boost as well, because they go at the same time, so it's really,
yeah,
I like that mix.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like an extra level of force that
yeah
if you need it.
Yeah.
And on the ground, let's hear about this pedal board. You got a lot going
yes
on here. A lot have already pulled out some crazy tones.
Yeah, we had to extend it even further because we kept
right, you've grown
kept
out of this
it bigger
one.
And then I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But I guess the kind of key ones, the Earthquaker Westwood, that was in the studio with James Ford on the first album.
Okay.
He had this pedal and I was like, that is such a lovely kind of, it's like it's drivey, but it's still quite clear.
Okay,
which I quite
that's
like
the Earthquaker Westwood. Let's hear
yeah
that. Let's hear that.
I don't usually play it on this guitar, so I don't know how it's going to sound.
Ooh, let's.
It's nice.
Do you want your?
So I've got my Greco on.
Yeah, do you want to get that?
Grab the Greco.
Get your number one, yeah, your tried and true.
That's not coming out. Good. Thank you. Thanks.
And is everybody hard lined? No,
no, we
wireless
do wireless. We okay do. Because we want to run up there.
Sure,
I know
yeah
it's cool to have the wires, but
yeah,
yeah, we want to run around.
Yeah, no, that's that, yeah, I love the run. With this big stage, yeah, there's plenty of
exactly
room.
Exactly. Yeah,
yeah,
Emily's got to go up there and solo, so
yeah
she can't be walking
yes
around with wires.
That's right. Sounds very ampy. Sounds
yeah
very legit amp. Okay.
And then we've got the Hoof Reaper, which is the big distortion pedal that you heard before on like the Jazzmaster.
Sure.
And then she's got like another Earthquake. I love Earthquaker.
Yeah.
Earthquaker Tremolo. And these ones, the Big Sky and the Time. I think you've got the Big Sky as well. Yeah. That's for the sort of soundscapey,
dreamy
lovely
bits.
Dreamy.
Sure.
For like On Your Side and stuff. Yeah. And then just a normal boost and.
Yeah. And a Dynacomp up there just
yeah
at the ready.
Doing
yeah
its thing.
Doing its
yeah
thing.
And then, yeah. And then the Infinite Jazz. And then this one's good for like some of our newer songs. Knocking at the Sky and Let's Do It Again, we've got a phaser, which is fun for a little bit of chaos.
Yeah. You know, I bet being on stage when this band is in full flight and hearing all those speakers and amps just rattling, it's got to feel amazing.
It is really fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And we sometimes have like side fills as well. So
oh
then you get the keys and the vocals. Or it's like such a.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the crowd good going crazy. That's.
We hope.
Yeah.
We
oh,
hope
inevitably. Yeah.
We hope to inspire them too.
Great, great. Well, congratulations. It sounds like you all are just killing it.
Thanks so much.
Now we're going to talk to Max about some bass.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. All right, last but not least, we're on bass. We got Max Lilly. Max, good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thanks for coming down.
Oh, my pleasure. So, okay, so yours is an interesting story. You were, you're the tech.
Yeah.
And Georgia, the bass player.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on here.
The beginning of the first leg that we were here, she fractured her spine.
Oh, no.
3 shows in.
Oh, God.
And she's been recovering ever since. She really wishes she could be here. Everyone misses her a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I've been with these guys for 3 years now. Yeah. And they asked me to step in.
When they're scrambling for a bass player, they think, wait a minute, Max knows the parts.
So I'm just stepping in to do a job for the band in Georgia and hope that I'm doing them proud.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, tell me about the rig.
Yeah, so this is it's a American Vintage 2 Fender P bass. I think it was at the beginning of this campaign we were looking at getting Georgia something to replace. She used to have a Gretsch, like Electromatic, which she used for the heavier songs.
Yeah.
And we were looking at getting her something to replace that because we didn't quite like the sound of it. It was a bit noisy and like not quite getting the tones that we wanted from the rig. And we went to Fender, I went down to the showroom, tried a couple of basses and landed on this one. I can't think what it's modelled on, but it's maybe like an old sort of 60s style P bass.
Yeah.
And the neck just feels really nice. It's a really nice weight and it sounds massive, and Georgia's ended up using it for a lot of the songs. Yeah. So like she used to have the Fender Mustang as her primary bass,
yeah,
but this has replaced a lot of what that used to get played on. So
right,
yeah, this gets played on maybe like half, 2/3 of the show.
Yeah, the P bass is just kind of, you can't go wrong with them. It's like the standard of the industry.
Yeah,
Leo got it right the first time.
Yeah, he did.
yeah, that's probably his greatest contribution.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds massive, and sort of gives the weight that it needs for a lot of the songs as well. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. So that's the number one. Okay. Let's see what's next.
Yeah, we can have a look at the Epiphone as well that we have.
Oh yeah. Is that the Jack Cassidy?
It is.
How
yeah.
Cool.
We were using this a little bit on the first campaign. Thanks to Gibson, they lent us one, and then we bought this at the beginning of album 2, in this lovely sort of, like cloudy blue color.
Yeah.
Georgia. I think this is Georgia's, between this and the P bass, definitely her favorite.
Yeah.
And we use flat wounds on this.
Oh, cool.
So we have 2 basses with rounds and 2 basses with flats. And this just is for a lot of, this did get used on a lot of the second record. It's just like a really nice, full, like warm, rounded sound.
Oh, sure. Let me hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I can feel it in my feet all the way up. Yeah,
that's what you want.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
we have a couple of lines of bass running, so that's mainly just for like you say it.
Oh yeah,
to feel it on the back of your legs.
Yeah, feels great.
Yeah, yeah, and then we have 2 other basses as well. We have a Fender Mustang, which is George's first bass ever.
Yeah, I've seen her playing that one.
The red one.
Yeah,
and then we have a Tisco Telestar as well from the 60s as well, which is sort of gets used. It's a bit more like punchy, like, you know, that sort of Tame Impala.
Yeah.
The less I know, the better. That sort of like really plucky, round wound sort of bass. It's like for a couple of songs in the set that sound.
Sure.
Need that sound.
That's great. Okay, and then tell me, amp wise, what are you running? I see those 2 massive cabinets.
We have 2 Super Bassman 800s.
Oh wow.
Behind. And then we have these 2 6x10 cabs.
Oh my God.
It's basically
so much firepower.
Yeah, yeah. It's just for stage volume, because the bass, all the bass sound basically comes from the sound amp on the pedal board.
Oh, okay.
So it's purely just for feel, and it feels great.
Yeah, I can attest it does feel great.
And especially when we've got the full sort of setup, it's nice to have both cabs in play.
Oh,
we've got a main and a spare. We rarely run both of them at the same time. But it does feel great when you do.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, Max, you're back on the number one P. Let's go through this pedal board a little bit. Maybe you could demo some of it.
Yeah, so we basically have, similar size to Lizzie's, but Georgia has, like, she needs a bit more room. So we had a smaller pedal board before, but she needed a bit more sort of like stomping space.
Yeah.
So we sort of spread it out a little bit. So yeah, it starts off running through, we have one of those Layla Sunday drivers under the board as a buffer. so much cable going on here that we needed a little bit to pick up some of the lost signal. So we have that pretty much at the start of the chain. The start of the chain is the AB pedal, which sort of splits between the wireless and the wired signal. So the wired is a backup, and every pedal board has that on the stage. So yeah, tuner, nice, lovely compressor from Origin Effects, and then volume pedal, and then that goes to a Layla P ISO underneath the pedal board, which splits the signal in two. So we have a clean signal, which runs basically just through the compressor and the tuner and the volume, and then straight to front of house. And then we have a parallel dirty signal, which runs through the rest of the board, through the sans amp, and then out to front of house as well. So we have
dirty clean kind of thing.
Yeah, so for the heavier bits of the show, when George is on the distortions or the synth pedal, it means that our front of house engineer's got that sort of backup clean signal to just push in the heavier sections. So yeah, we have basically five effects going on the board, main effects. So we've got the two overdrives or distortions. I believe this Blooms pedal from Earthquaker is actually called a low signal shredder.
Mm.
That's the official name. Sounds wicked.
I gotta hear it. Yeah, anything
it sounds
called,
massive.
Called that, I gotta hear it.
Yeah, it sounds massive.
When the world is ending, that's what you want to play.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
very doomy.
Yeah, so Georgie uses that on like My Lady of Mercy, Rifle, Big Dog, like all of the sort of really big, heavy songs. Yeah. And then we have a sort of slightly more subdued distortion, the Dark Glass, the B3K, which also sounds fantastic, but that's more for like the sort of lighter distortions like Sinner maybe. It still sounds really nice and gives that bit of crunch, but just not quite as obliterating as the Blooms. We also have a Send Return in here, which is Georgia sometimes likes to like experiment with pedals on the road. And you know, if they want to try anything in the studio or like at home, then they've got the ability to just sort of plug something into that slot and have it accessible within the full rig. So we have that there all the time. Which is great. And then we have a synth pedal from Boss, the SY1, which gets used in like Burn Alive and On Your Side. So like, just gives that nice sort of like warm, like.
Yeah, that covers a lot of space.
Yeah, 100%. And then a nice chorus as well, which gets used in it's Electro Harmonics, I think, the bass clone. So it's just like a nice sort of silky, syrupy sound for those sort of nice flowing bass lines. And then the delay is literally used for one song, The Scythe. It's just set up on like a really tight, short feedback. So it's just. Just something, I think it's an effect that they used in the studio when they were recording the song.
Yeah.
Just to give that imitation of like sort of.
Well, you were in Max, you're in a really difficult position because you had to learn all the songs and also the nuance of all the pedals. And,
yes.
I mean, and you'd been watching her for a while, but I bet that was a.
It was a very surreal experience to have to do that. But
I bet the first couple shows were totally nerve-wracking.
Very nerve-wracking. Very nerve-wracking. But yeah, I feel like I've settled in a little bit now, which is nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sort of helps. I built the pedal board, so I knew my way around them already, which is really nice.
That's great. Well, great, man. Way to hit the curveball. Keep the show going.
That's great.
So the last dinner party is coming to you all across America right now and beyond.
Yeah.
So check them out, y'all.